right there has a tempo that you have to be in the right place to be able to sing that song correctly. And God use y'all this morning, choir. Thank you. I feel like we can just go ahead and take a step and just go over there. We took the offering. We good. No, I better preach because I'll be in trouble with the pastor.
Amen.
Ooh, that was a delightful song. So I don't know if you were sleeping when you got here, but that song certainly woke you up. That's my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My beloved, you know, when I was searching for what God wanted to provide to you today, I landed in a place that was kind of took me back some years. I reflected and I remember sometimes in life, people might say some really hurtful things to you or about you. I can certainly say that I've had my many experiences of that. But when I was young, I was taught a little funny phrase that kind of helped me get through that. You probably know this phrase, and if you do, you can just recite it with me when I say it. You know, just drop right on in and just go with me. That old phrase was, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You ever done that before? You ever heard that phrase? You ever had to say it because of things going on in your life? I certainly have. And that sometimes that thing would come along and just make that pain just a little bit less stinging. And I thank God for that. You know, we're going to talk about a man named David, who was being persecuted, yelled at, harassed, and how this story of his, to me, serves as a really important reminder of how do you respond to sticks and stones. If you turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5, you'll find these words recorded in the King James Version translation. And when King David came to Bahurim, I got to pause there for a second. Tell y'all something, a little inside thing. That word Bahurim, I had to practice that thing so much yesterday in the morning. Bahurim, to say it right. And, you know, I don't roll like that. R's don't roll out of my mouth like that. I just want to let y'all know the kind of stuff preachers will go through for your benefit to make sure we say stuff right. Bahurim. Who speaks like that? But anyway, so, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. My beloved, the title of today's message is simply Sticks and Stones. Sticks and Stones. Let us pray. Precious God Almighty, we just thank you for how you have touched the service thus far, Lord. And we ask that thou would continue to bless us, dear God, that you would use me for your glory to accomplish what you would have done this day. That you would speak, God, the words that we all need to hear, that we all need to labor under, and that we need to carry with us that sustain us through the week. Speak, O Lord, we hear and we obey. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
My beloved, I got to give you a little bit of the setting of what's going on to kind of put everything into context. We have this scenario where Absalom, the son of David, has launched a revolt. And Absalom is determined to kill David and seize the kingdom. This sounds like a deadly family dispute, doesn't it? Now, I don't know about you, how you are with your siblings, but some of us know we got some issues with some of our folk, kinfolk. We might want to go fist to cuff every now and then, but this is serious, right? His son wants to kill him. Now, that to give you the rest of the story would take too long, and that's probably a sermon series, but you can go back and look for yourself. Well, why? What happened with Absalom? Why is he so upset with his dad? But that's not the focus of today's message. We find that while Absalom is pursuing David, David is on the run, and he leaves the holy city Jerusalem, and he goes to this nearby Benjamite village called Baharim. This is the location of today's story. And then as we continue to read 2 Samuel 16 and 5, it says, "And when King David came to Baharim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, and the son of Gerar. He came forth and cursed still as he came." Look at this picture. We now encounter this man named Shimei, who is maybe or maybe not a kinfolk with King Saul. King Saul was the previous king. But rather, he might be just part of some subset of the tribe of Benjamin, in which Saul also came out of that. So in some sense, you might say they're related because of that association. But it says that Shimei came cursing. What do you mean cursing, Rev? Like saying bad things about him? He was yelling obscenities, my beloved. And he was attacking with words what he amped up in the very next verse. Take a look. Verse 6, it says, "And he cast stones at David." Somebody say cast stones.
Cast stones.
And at all the servants of the king, David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left.
Well,
now we see that he is aiming stones, not just words, at David. And anybody that's associated with David, this man is chunking rocks. That's what we called it back in Rocks. Y'all remember that, Smiths, right? Chunking rocks. He's chunking, but both not just with words, but with stones. He's flinging them at David and his company, intended to blame and to shame and to defame David, because he had an issue with David. Now, there's an old saying. Remember the old saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me." But I got to tell you, this when I read this, it bothered me. Let me tell you why it bothered me so much. We have this man, Shimei, that's attacking the king, and the king is surrounded by his boys, mighty warriors. These guys know battle. And yet, he feels emboldened enough to taunt the king. Do you know what happened in that day when you got on the wrong side of the king?
Yeah.
Off with your head. Yeah. So he felt really emboldened for some reason. But what was Shimei's gripe? That would be the question that I would ask. Why would he basically put himself in that position to be killed? What was he so stirred up about? We find that in the very next verse, 7. "And thus says Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial." Shimei insulted King David by calling him a bloody man. That means a killer, a murderer. He also called him a man of Belial, which means ungodly, good for nothing, worthless. He's saying that about your king? The pulpit commentary said this about that passage, about come out, come out. It says, "Get out, be gone, thou murderer and worthless man." Now, this would have been a peaceful protest, except he was throwing rocks, so he amped it up to a whole nother level. And so Shimei taunted David and his followers, but why? Still, I asked the question, why are you so upset, Shimei? Was he aware that King Saul had been executed? Was he aware that Absalom was in hot pursuit of his dad to take out his life? Was he feeling emboldened because he knew Absalom was on the charge?
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say in verse 8. It said, "The Lord hath returned unto thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man." Boy, he's talking some stuff, isn't he? He accused David of taking the kingdom by force and a bloody attack and taking that from the hands of Saul. And he's also saying, your son is after you. He's bringing the judgment of God on you. You deserve it, David. Because with your mischief, God is bringing it back home to you. evil that's befalling you, you deserve it. You're reaping what you sow. Blood for blood, eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth. Here you go. But David was not responsible for King Saul's death. You do know that, right? King Saul was mortally wounded in a battle with the Philistines. And then, rather than be taken captive, he committed suicide. Because he knew that if he had been taken captive as the king, they would have tortured him and had so much fun with him before they finally executed him. So rather than go through that, he attempted to commit suicide. And some writers say that he wasn't successful and others had to come and lean on him to finish the process. What do you mean? He took his sword and he leaned on his sword and fell on it. But it implies that maybe he wasn't exactly dead. Some other folks came to help him along and shove him down more. Drive it in. So maybe Shimei's got all of this going on and he's realizing, yeah, okay. Shimei's thinking that you killed Saul so you could take his kingdom. Now God sent an Absalom after you to get revenge. But that's not the case. So I love, like, he's talking all this stuff and King David is surrounded by his boys, these mighty warriors, and somebody's going to speak up, right, Dick? Somebody's going to say something eventually. Here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? You hear what he's saying? He'd already called the man dead. He said, let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Please, king, let me go get him. This loyal warrior wanted to silence Shimei permanently.
Well, Jesus.
But I love David's response to this. To me, this is probably the most impressive thing in these passages to me is what David said. David said, let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Let him alone and let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. Maybe the Lord will see and requite me good in exchange. In this discourse, David is saying that he's accepted this could actually be from God to point out something in an error within David. So rather than punish this man for what he did, maybe this might be God's punishment for David. And that God might be moved to mercy when he sees David's plight. So then we go on, and David could have resorted to an eye for an eye outcome. Amen. Sometimes them cell phones just take off and they just don't want to behave themselves. Thank you, Dee, for wrestling that thing to the ground. So David could have resorted to an eye for an eye outcome, but instead, he certainly had the authority to do so. He had the soldiers with him to do so, to respond to Shimei's taunting, but instead he did not retaliate. So Shimei kept his head. It made me think about something Jesus said. I don't know. Did it go something like this? Love thy enemies? Jesus, when he said that, he amped it up to a whole nother level. Just because somebody talking bad about you, yeah, you might want to get revenge, but Jesus said, you take that to the next level and you love them. You do good to them that despitefully use you, right? So if you too have experienced verbal attacks, question is God speaking to you? Don't shoot the messenger, because it might be sent by God.
Right.
Now permit me to share with you my own Shimei experience, because I always like to use me in this situation to let y'all know I'm not perfect. I know you thought so, right? No, but my Shimei moment occurred in 1980. It was the year that I got married, and this was the day before the wedding. And my seven groomsmen, my dad, my father-to-be, and myself, 10 of us, had assembled at this tailor shop because we're getting fitted for our tuxedos. And they got to make last minute alterations, right? So while they're making these alterations, I guess I was a little bit bossy. No, I'm gonna have to say I was. I was feeling myself. I was trying to look good in front of my boys, some of them that I grew up with, some from college, and my parent, my dad was there, and my soon-to-be father-in-law was there. I guess I was feeling myself. So I'm like bossing them around. No, the pants are not long enough. You need to let them down some more. And something happened. The tailor slammed his hand down on the desk. And he said, "Young man, follow me in my office." So I go follow him in his office. As soon as I step through the door, he slams the door behind me. Bam! And he said, "Because you have been so rude and so disrespectful, you will not ever talk to my wife like that again." Ooh. Man, I tell you, I felt that tall as I listened to him berate me for what I had done outside that office. And he said, "As a result of this, I was going to waive y'all deposits, so you wouldn't have to deposit a security deposit on your tuxedos, but all of you going to have to pay deposits now." Now, I could have retaliated. I could have got mad with him. Like, "Wait a minute. That ain't right. You work for me." But God gave me the presence of mind to know better. I realized I was in the wrong. He was my shimei, pointing out my error. And I was about to shoot the messenger, but he gave me good wisdom and insight. That was a teaching moment for me personally. Why am I sharing this with you? Sometimes people will say stuff to us which may not necessarily be that bad for us to hear it.
That's right.
Sometimes. Not all the time. So if you find yourself in a similar predicament, you might think about, is this God speaking? What is God saying to me? That was one of my shimei moments. If you take away anything from today's message, I hope you take away this thought. Don't be too thin-skinned that you overreact, and too thick-skinned that you can't hear. Don't be so thin-skinned that you overreact, and too thick-skinned that you can't hear. Amen? Now let me continue the Shimei David story. Absalom, who hunted David, is killed. Shimei realized he's wrong. He thought God had sent Absalom to kill his dad, but Absalom's dead now. So I guess that wasn't the case. So he thought he was on the winning side when he was talking all this stuff. Now he realized, I'm all by myself. So what happened? Shimei accepted that God had a plan to preserve David, not to take David out. So we find in 2 Samuel 19, 18 through 23, he's asking for forgiveness.
Yes.
"Please, you know, let me go. Don't hold this to my account. Don't let your people kill me or take me out." Basically, he's asking, begging for his life. And we find that David does something, I think, noteworthy. He forgives him.
Yeah.
And he guarantees him safety. He tells his folk, "Don't y'all touch him. He's under my care." Wow, isn't that a big leap? Somebody throwing rocks at you and cursing you out? And that's how you respond with forgiveness? That's a big stretch, isn't it? But is that what we're supposed to do, is stretch as believers? Right? Isn't that Jesus' requirement for us? That we do forgive? Amen. So back to the theme. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, by the way, I should say this about Shimei. Shimei's story doesn't stop here. It continues on. In fact, if you got a pen and pencil, you might want to write down these scripture references, but I want to tell you that Shimei will stand before David's son named Solomon, when Solomon is king. And there's something happened to Shimei, you got to read, and I'll leave that for you to read to yourself in your private time. That would be 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 8, and you got to read a little bit of verses through 46. You read that, you'll find out what happened to Shimei when it's all said and done. But back to today's theme. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. As I draw to a close, I want to focus on two types of characters I find in these passages we just went over. I find the Shimei-like person, that's the person that rebukes, that will get in your face and tell you about yourself, that will point out your faults and your ills. This person, my beloved, might even feel like they've been sent by God to give you a word from the Lord. But I want to let you know why you think you're doing the Lord's work. I want you to remember something. The tongue can be a dangerous instrument.
Yes, it can.
Psalm 8 and 21 tells us that death and life is in the tongue. It can encourage and it can destroy. And whenever your tongue wags or speaks venom, my beloved, I'm going to let you know, it can poison you too. Even if you feel justified like Shimei, you have something that you believe God told you to bring to somebody's attention, do it in the proper way. You might say, well, Rev, what's the proper way? Well, I thank God for Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such, and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Lest you also be tempted, this is the way to do it. Because what might be the temptation? Well, you might think more highly of yourself than you ought. Or you might even start to lie on God, just like Shimei did. You know, God, the reason why you're going through, David, is because God is doing this to you. So that's the first character. I want to talk about the second character, coming to a close. This David-like person, the one that receives the rebuke, and how does he respond? The comment is to be open enough and questioning enough to see if God might be speaking to you.
Amen.
And what God might be saying. And again, don't be too thick-skinned to hear and too thin-skinned to forgive. Romans 12, 17 and 18 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much that lieth within you, live peacefully with all men. Didn't they hear that? It said that when somebody comes and rebukes you, do the best you can to still be peaceful about it. Yeah. Because then that honors God. But I don't want to just stop there. I had to give you one more verse with that to help you understand that David, this is the way David was thinking about this. Psalm 119, verse 71, the psalmist wrote, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
All right.
It's good that I've been harmed or hurt, that I might learn more about your requirements for me, God. The Bible does say that he chastised those that he loves. Now, I know sometimes I say to God, please, Lord, don't love me this much. That hurts. But he knows what we can bear, right? In conclusion, Shimei felt justified in attacking David.
Yes.
He was pretty brash in how he did that. Cursing at him, throwing stones at him, call him a bloody man, a worthless man, a good-for-nothing man. In the presence of his army that was with him, he took a lot of challenges with that, took a lot of risks. But David accepted what was going on and reasoned that maybe this might be from God and maybe I just might be deserving. If you know anything about David's story, you flip back in passages in the Bible, you find out that it's pronounced to David that the sword will not depart from his house. That David had been a bloody man. And there's a whole lot more with that. That's a sermon for another time. But I can tell you this. David thought he was deserved for what he received. And he prevented the people from harming Shimei. I encourage you to read the passages that I suggested to you for when Solomon gets on the scene. It's a little different story when you get to that place. But anyway, so yes, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words don't always necessarily have to hurt me. There are sometimes words can remind me, correct me, and turn me around and create a different outcome. So I look back in that period in 1980 when that tailor got in my face and told me about myself. I'm looking down today and I said, thank you. Thank you. It is never proper to be rude with people, even if they're rude back at you. And these folks weren't. They were dealing with 10 men, 10 fittings, alterations, pants, shirts, ties, or bow ties, all that stuff, and trying to make it all work. And we got to have this together by tomorrow. Man, and then I got the nerve to tell them, you know, you didn't do that right. So, all this to say what? If you've ever been harmed or hurt by somebody, consider why that hurt so much. And then reason with yourself, inviting God to help you with this. Lord, was this really from you? And you used them to speak to me. Because if that's the case, God, then maybe I shouldn't be mad at them at all. Maybe I should thank them for opening my eyes to things within me that I need to change. So with that, my beloved, I just want to thank God for this. Yes, sticks and thorns might break my bones, but words need not necessarily hurt me. Seek God's guidance. That's the message today for God's people today. Would you join me in giving God glory, guys? Thank you.